It's a schus to be able to speak today on the yard site of the Zayde, Zecher Lebracha, the Baal Avos Levi, and on the yard site of the Shver, Zecher Lebracha, Marin Rabbeinu, Rav Shmuel Yaakov, Zatzal. I'd like to start off with a very famous word that the Baal Avos Levi used to say on this week's parasha. It says, "Vayevel Elokim, the Rebbeinu Shlom came to Bilam and yes, the Miyad Hashem Eila Shabuay Lecha." So he says, "Bolik Ben Sipor Melch Mayav Shalach Alei." Zak Rashi, "Afal Peishen Yichashu Bein Echa, Chashu Ani Bein Yibosav Adam." So she says, "What's Bilam, crazy? He's going to brag about himself to the Rebbeinu Shalom? Rebbeinu Shalom knows the truth, who he is and what he is. So you tell me, after you say the Chashav Benecha, Chashav Ani Benes Basav Adam, I'm not Chashav by you, but people do. What does it mean? He's a Navi Hashem, this Bilam." My sister-in-law, the Langazin Shtag, Robinson Feldman, when the Shiva was holding the last week or two of his life, he was home and sitting in a wheelchair by the dining room table Shabbos. And it was Parshas Balak, I guess, and she asked him, "What kind of teretz is Balak to Bilam? To Moshe Menach? Bilam to Balak. Bilam to Moshe. What kind of teretz is that? That the Amzalim shouldn't have a taina that we got trying to so God had Moshe Rabbeinu, so I'm going to give you Bilam. Great shakes. Who's Bilam? What is it? What kind of tushtal is that?" So the Rashi answered, "He was the best that they had. He was giving them the most that he could give them, given the fact that who they were. So Bilam was the best. He was the best. And he got nevuah. And you know that the Rama says, that, but you need to be a Navi. And he says, you say the Atera. Because you have to be a Shalit. But Yitzray, it has to be a lot of different things. I'm not sure that Bilam could check off all the boxes. But it's an amazing thing." So Rav Shiva used to say, and this word was very famous. Rav Shiva told me that he was sitting at a dinner or a chasana, and the Baal Simcha said this word over in front of the Rav Shiva and didn't say it was his. He said, and he didn't mind. Fakir, he was happy that somebody was saying it over. He got it, he remembered it. Obviously the word made him a Rashi. So he said like this, "Bilam's not bragging about himself. On the contrary, he's coming to me with Katrik and Klal Yisrael. How's that? He's saying, look, I'm taka nothing. You know that, Rabbi Yisrael. But look how many other mamash of me. Can you see how Yidden treat Moshe Rabbeinu? They're not mash of him like that mash of these guys mash of me." So he was being Katrik and Klal Yisrael. He didn't want to miss an opportunity to be able to show up, Klal Yisrael Chas V'Sholem. So that's what he's saying. Even though I'm nothing. You know that I'm nothing. So you can see what the Klal Yisrael does with Moshe Rabbeinu. The mavazim, the machis him, the kufatayv with him. You always have tainas on him. So that's how he was being mekatrik. So the next time the Rebbeinu Shlom came to Bilam, so the Rebbeinu Shlom told him, say, "Bilam, you know why they give you so much covet? Because you say what they want you to say. Moshe LeNebuch has to say what I tell him. You say what I tell you, and you'll see how much covet you'll get." It's a famous, famous word from the Baal Avos Levi. The Baal Avos Levi, you know, to be able to shatz up somebody, you have to be holding in their state. You have to be holding where they are holding. We're not holding but anywhere near where he is holding. The only thing we can do is try to say over what we noticed, what we were able to pick up. But it had nothing to do with who he was or how much he was. He was far more than we could identify with. I'll give you a muscle. He was the Yidden town, a chashev of all of us. His name is Reb Yitzchak Baraskis. Reb Yitzchak Baraskis was a Talmud in Yeshiva many, many, many years ago. He was the infirmary person. He was very, very close with the yeshiva. So, and he, Rabbi Joseph Raskas, was very close with Rabbi Shlomo Shradvar. So he came back once from a trip from Eretz Yisrael, and he comes into the yeshiva, to the Baal Slavi. He says, Rebbe, I was just by Rabbi Shalom's house, and he showed me a sefer of the Marsham, his grandfather. He says, yeah, what did it say? He said, Hayom siyamti shas chamesh mea pa'amim. Okay? So we would all say, wow, that's great. The yeshiva said, it can't be. It can't be. I know how long he lived. And he couldn't have finished it finished 500 times. I know how long it takes to finish Shas. Yeah? And every time Yitzhak would walk into his house, to the Shiva's house, after that, he would tell him, Yitzhak, it's a Kenet Zayn. Kenet Zayn. Finally, Reb Shalom came to visit. Reb Shalom comes into the Shiva's office, come into his house, and the Shiva says, Reb Shalom, Reb Yitzhak at the minute itself, as I descend by a sefer for the Barsham, and in Gilin state, as I young siyamti chas, chamesh meis pomim. It's kind of thine. Reb Shalom said, nay, nay, sigana to us. At Gebemis and Gesog Shulchan Arach, none of the Karnaim said in Nishtares gegangen. So she says, fin for the Rebbe Shulchan Arach, where can this nish? Who can do that? That's no big kunz. You have to be holding there. You have to be holding. What to talk about Shas, you have to be holding in Shas. He was holding in Shas all the time. Always. Ask him anything. Reuben Buckle just told over Mariah Gemaisa. He said that they said that on the Rashiva that he could take the pin test. So Reuben Buckle was really curious. He was he's a very interested Talmud. He's a brilliant boy, man. Talmud Chacham, and he's an American, has his American curiosity, and Tmimus. So he was once with the Shiva visiting the rabbis and Jews in the hospital. It happened oftentimes by Stake Nefech. So they come into the hospital, and the Shiva's sitting down next to the rabbis, and Reuven tried to make himself scarce. And then they should have privacy. So finally, it was quiet. So Reuven asked the Shiva, is it emes that the Shiva could take the pin test? He had the chutzpah to ask her. So the Shiva told him, Amol, one time I could do it. He was already lazy knuso. He said, who's giving over? And now I don't think I can do it. But there was a point where he could do it. When he was younger, he was able to do it. I think the Rebbetzin said it, she said it, that he was able to do it, and then Reuven asked the Shiva, and Shiva said, Amol, one time I could do it, Taki. This is what you're talking about. Talk about people who are out of we're not in the same atmosphere, or the same stratosphere, or anything. We don't walk on the same ground. And that was something that made a lasting impression on all the Talmidim. The tzura of an Adam Gadol, the tzura of what it is to be walking around and be chazring Torah all the time, chazring always, and to be able to answer a kasha for wherever you're holding in Shas, and he can answer you on the spot better than you knew on the somewhere you were learning. That's godless. It's not only a photograph of memory, which it was, but it's godless. I remember the Shiva Zendi got up once before El, or during El, exactly. And he was brought in the table and the chair, and you should be able to sit on the bima to say, by the Aron Kodesh, to say the shmuz. And he started crying. He was saying, Torah on Amelus is garnished. Torah without a melis, not worth anything. And he was crying. And everybody understood what he was saying. He was saying that he thought that he could have been more Amel in Torah. And he suspected he was shortchanged the mitzvah Talmud Torah. If that's shortchanging the mitzvah Talmud Torah, I can't imagine in my wildest dreams what being the kind of mitzvah Talmud Torah. It should be Talmud al aper, it should be Talmud al alev, al amayach. The same role of his walking into the Beis Medrash. The whole Beis Medrash, hundreds of Bachrim and Yungalite and Rebbeim stood up, was it ramrod straight? They stood up and waited and were quiet until the Shiva started talking to Rav Kolevsky. He started talking to Rav Kolevsky. The Eilim waited and stood the whole time he was talking to Rav Kolevsky. Invariably, he'd ask him, Avu Haltir? And Rav Kolevsky would tell him, Azeinant? That was Tutmendarten. And he would laugh. He knew what he was doing there. And he knew he was a Gevaldik back in Shir. But he wanted to know, you have to learn more also. You can't just learn a few blat and think with the Gevaldik alumnus, with the Gevaldik Havanim. That taught their acharis like nobody's business. That taught their acharis like the Kavarat Torah. And Shibi also says, hey, Kavarat Torah is grass of your Torah. Chazal say, Kavarat Torah is grass. He was the same mill. He was the same mill of what a person can reach in Torah. On the other hand, we had the Shiva's Zal Rav Weinberg, Moreno Rabbeinu. He was so different from the Shiva. They were like, the Shiva's godless in the heck of folk, whole Torah, that he knew about Pe. And the Shiva being the most insightful person learning to the depth of what's being said and be able to read and understand what you're reading. Not just superimpose what I would like to say it means, because that's what came to my mind. I remember I told him once of art in Parshas Mishpatim, in a Rashi. She said, Zeh Oshay. Oh, but you know it's not Emes. There it went. He was right. Of course I knew it wasn't Emes. But it was nice. I shared it with him. V'yafe. What's yafe? He's Bakoshes Emes. And his Gevaldike cup, he had a very fast cup. And he was able to get to the point. I remember we were learning once together a Tesis. And he goes through the Tesis like you read Ashrei. And he says, you see what Tesis is doing? I said, no. As he read it down like this. You see what Tesis is doing? He told me, it's unbelievable. He would learn the beginning of Tesis, and without going Vayta, he would know the end. That's how his cup was. That's how he could, and only he would trust himself to do that. He had experience doing it. And he saw. He got to understand where the Tesis is going. What he would say on such a case. And he based the shir on it. Without seeing the end. Being able to say what exactly was going to be said. And he was right. It's a depth at which unbelievable. And he demanded that the most annoying thing to me, and I think the most Talmidim was, he demanded a person to make sense out of what he's doing. He wouldn't stand for, I'm doing something, and it used to annoy me terribly. I'm doing something because I'm doing it. Leave me alone. No, no such thing. An Adam is a Becher. Our job as Bnei Adam, and Bnei Yisrael certainly, is to be Becher Mateif. So when we dar and Becher, they asked him once. You know, there was a guy called B.F. Skinner. He has a theory in psychology called behaviorism. You know the mice with the mouse going across a grate, or a rat, whatever it was. So they asked the Shiva, so how could there be such a thing as Bechira Chofshis if Skinner can tell you what it's going to be? So where's the Bechira Chavshis? The Shaka Kasha, no? So only he could come up with the answer. I think I couldn't, let's put it this way, I certainly couldn't have come up with the answer. That's not saying all that much, but I think many people could come up with the answer. So he said, you're making a mistake. Of course a person has Bechira. One of the Bechiras they has is not to be Bechir. Skinner just picked up on the fact that people choose not to choose. They do whatever they feel like doing. Whatever is based on, whatever it is based on. But they're choosing not to choose. But you see, in everybody's life, there are times we do choose. Even though it's something that could not have been predicted, we're still going to do it. So there is Bechira. It's just we choose not to use it. And that's why a person can be predictable in his behavior. He demanded from Talmidim to be able to live a rational life, that we should do things only because they made sense to us and not do things frivolously. There's makom for frivolous also, but that's not the way a person is supposed to live his life. Those are the exceptions rather than the rule. The famous story with the cake Friday night by the Einig in the Rishiva's house, and the Rebbetzin sold kibbutz, she put cake down, soda, whatever it was, and everybody was hesitant to take anything. They didn't want to move. And in front of the Rebbe, what are you going to do? So she was said to someone, take, the Rebbe will be very upset if you don't take, she set the table for you. Eat. So a bacher took a piece of cake. He said, why did you take that piece? You can't even eat a piece of cake in peace. So why did you take that piece? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Tell me because it was closer. Tell me because you liked that cake better. Tell me because of anything. But give me a reason. You give yourself a reason. You do things just because you did it. Make sense out of it. And that was a Musa Haskell that kept on hacking us. And as annoying as it was, that's how chashuv it was. That it was that morning being an Eved Hashem. That morning being responsible for the decisions that I make. And being responsible for the actions that I do. For the words that I say. For the thoughts that I have. Try to give a rationale at least. You could be wrong. Or it could be you make a mistake. Who cares? But at least be involved in the process of being a human being. And he mourned that from us. And it's as annoying as anything. It's horrible. But it set a standard. It set a standard for what a person should be aiming to do in their lives. And how they should be able to, be able to go about living their lives. He demanded a lot. But he was amazing. With all the demands that he had, it was only to be a Rebbe. It was not because Chas V'Shalom he had any tainus to the Bachar. He wanted to teach them what they should be aspiring to, what they should be trying to become, and how they should want to live. He was teaching them the Yesedis of Torah. That's what his life's goal was, teaching Torah. And teaching Torah, he wanted to give up the Yesedis, things that other people wouldn't bother talking about. The Rami Hill's Yesedi of Torah, the Rami Hill's Deis, Tam Tam Luchos Tam Torah, Tshuva. He wanted to give over the Yesedis because we were very poor in knowing the Yesedis of Torah. So he wanted to make sure that even those of us who are learning and full-time in yeshiva and becoming Bnei Torah and becoming Choshev Bnei Torah should never forget what the Yesedis of life are. There's one Rabbanu Shel Olam, he's a Hayav V'Yeh, and that's the only one that exists. There's no other being that's real. The Rabbanu Shel Olam is the only being Amitas Mitzius who came Amitas Echad Behem. The Rabbanu Shel Olam Mitzius is totally, completely different than any other Mitzius of anything in the world. And he wanted us to remember that. Because that's necessary in knowing, in B'chol Drachei Hadayu, in everything that we do, we have to remember the Rabbanu Shel Olam is Einay Mavadeh. He's the only Mitzius. He's the only reality. So when we live our lives and we try to set out a course for our lives, a tachlis for our lives, what we want to do, it has to be with the awareness that we can't do a thing. It's all the Rabbeinu Shalom. But the Rabbeinu Shalom tells us, you have to be, I want you to be mishtadel. I want you to be mishtadel, and I'll make it happen. Like he told Moshe about the Mishkan. No one could set it up. And came to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Rabbeinu Shalom, you know I can't set this up. It doesn't stand. He said, I made it that way on purpose. That you're going to be the only one that can make it stand, and it's going to be up in Nes. You won't be able to attack it. But everybody's going to say, you're going to get the credit for it. You were Meis Nefesh for it. You were the one that took my shlichus about making a Mishkan and made it into a reality. You got Bezalel, you got Elio, you got the Chachmei Lev. That's what he wanted. He wanted us to know the Yesedis of Torah. He wanted us to know how to apply those Yesedis to our lives, to ourselves, to our families, to our Talmidim, to everybody that we come in contact to. Like the Rambam says, Nashim avonim u'ketanim p'turim mitam v'Torah. Avokotin av l'chayim l'lam v'Torah. Shenemra v'limadatem osim v'sbenechim l'darabom. Me'en hayu shechayeves l'lamid v'sbenoah shekol chayim l'lam v'chayim l'lam. Halacha beis. Kashem shechayim odim l'lam v'sbenoah. Kach hu chayim l'lam v'sbenoah. Ersh t'chidish. Zweiten Chiddush is Shinema Ve'adat Melavonecha B'nei Venecha. V'lo B'noi Ben B'nei Belvan El Mitzvah Al Kol Chochem V'Chochem Yisrael L'Lamed Is Kol Talmidim. And the Mitzvah on every Chochem in Klal Yisrael to teach all the Talmidim. It's an amazing thing. What does that mean? The Medrash Tanchuma says, I think it's the beginning of Tetzaveh. Tanchuma tells a story about, I think it was Rabbi Yechim and Zakai. And he was on a ship traveling overseas. And there were a lot of big business people on that ship. And they brought their wares to sell overseas. So they saw this yid, this from a yid. So he asked them, where's your wares? He said, my wares is bigger than yours. They looked into the books of the ship, what was deposited. Nothing was deposited. So they made fun of him the rest of the trip. They were making fun of him. He says he's a businessman. He says he has bigger than our business. It's a galechter. So he comes in the middle of the trip, Nebuch. They were robbed by pirates. Pirates came by. There used to be such a reality as pirates. And they would rule the waters. So they came in and they robbed the whole ship of all the wares. You can imagine how tzabrochen all these business people were. They get to shore, and what did this Talmud Chacham do? He ran straight to the Beis Medrash. What is he going to do? He went to the Beis Medrash and he was learning Torah. The people went over to him and talked to him, and they saw he was a Talmud Chacham Gadol. So they said, we have to take care of him. And they did. They took care of a place for him. They took care to give him food. They all walked out with him wherever he was going to follow him. They saw what an Olam Gadol had in front of themselves. So the Gevirim that lost all their wares came to him and they said, you know the world of Grace of Gevirim. These people don't know who we are. No, they're not going to look at us. Do us a favor. Speak it unto them on our behalf. They should take care of us, please. We shouldn't starve. We shouldn't go without a place to be. So he said, I told you my wares are bigger than yours. I told you. What's going on here? The Medrash is trying to tell me that he knew how to play his strengths to his advantage. That's not what the Medrash is saying. Why did he go in there? Why was he teaching them? Because mitzvah kol chacham v'chacham l'lamin es kol ha-talmidim. He was just doing what the Rabbeinu Shalom says to do. But the mitzvah talmud Torah is machayev. That's why he was such miyuchas. He was such miyuchas because he was just doing what the Rabbeinu Shalom said. He wasn't doing anything for his own covet. He wasn't doing anything to get meals. He wasn't doing anything for that. Talmud Torah is a mitzvah to teach. But it's a mitzvah to teach not to be able to get rewarded for it. It's a mitzvah to teach, to be able to give over what it is that the Rabbeinu Shalom gives us in a way that it should become palatable, understandable, and applicable, to be able to know how to apply all the aseidus of Torah in our lives. Rabbeinu Shalom should bench us. The schus of both our yeshivas, zechen levracha, should be megan on the family, yeah? I'm on the gaya. To be megan on the family. But you understand that family means all the Talmidim. Because he says, later on he says, Lamis kol ha-talmidim, af b'yishen ha-banav, shenem ha-vishinantam levanecha, mipin ha-shubu ha-lamdu banecha elu talmidecha, she-talmidim kruyim banim, shenem ha-yetzu b'nei ha-nevim, talmidim are called banim. They're not only called banim, they're gerechent banim, they're kiilu yoldam, like by Moshe and Aaron's children. That's what we have the benefit of. And we should understand that what's going on in the yeshiva today, to a very large extent, is still very much part of what the yeshiva was miyasid, the Baal Vex Levi, what Rav Weingui was miyasid, what Rav Kalevsky and Rav David and Rav Neuberger put in a tremendous amount into making this yeshiva what it is. And we have a tremendous Hakaras HaTev, like Rav Weinberg Tzatzal used to say all the time. Hakaras HaTev doesn't say what you're supposed to do. Hakaras HaTev says what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be Makar HaTev. How are you going to express that? That's up to you. But the Chiv is to be Makar HaTev. That's what we're doing today, in the smallest way. To try to be Makar HaTev, to the Miyastim, to the Manhigim, to those people that Shtel Devek this Yeshiva. It showed us what Torah was, showed us what an Adam Gadol, Anashim Gedolim are, showed us what Havanas HaTorah is, how a person should understand Torah. It taught us what Torah is supposed to bring us to in all the areas of our lives. So Zayin HaSchus for Alam Neshamas, Be'ez HaShem, Akut and Shabbos.